Church supports international missions. Let's open our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John chapter 1. We'll be focusing on one verse of Scripture this morning, one verse, verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18. I thank Jed and for our group for filling in for Pruitt this morning, and thank you for a good job. Well done. I know the Lord's proud. I know the Pruitt will be proud of you. Thank you so much for doing that. 1 John chapter 1, excuse me, John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for what I've felt here this morning. I hope and pray that everyone here has sensed your presence in this place. And Lord, I come now to ask you to please help me as I share your word. Lord, I pray, give me what I need to say and help me to say it in a way that I need to say it that would be pleasing to you. Lord, help us, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive the engrafted word of God today. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As Christmas approaches, a time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we mainly focus on the fact that Jesus came to save us from our sins. And certainly that is true, and that is something we should always celebrate. And perhaps the most important reason why Jesus Christ came to this world. But there's another reason that Jesus Christ came. And it's found here in this one verse of Scripture in John chapter 1 and verse 18. And I want to read that verse once again. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Today I want to share with you how that God has been revealed through Jesus Christ, the Son. And I want us to do something a little bit different this morning. I want to take two phrases out of this verse and break it down for you and give you some information. First of all, notice what it says. It says that no man hath seen God at any time. The first thing I want to point out is that the primary reasons why that is so. Why hasn't man seen God? The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. First of all, because God is invisible. Did you know that? God is invisible to man. He is the invisible God. Paul describes God as the invisible God in the following verses. For example, in Colossians 1:15, Paul writes, who is the image, referring to God, who is the image of the, referring to Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So the Bible tells us, Paul said that and refers to God as the invisible God. And then Jesus made this statement in John chapter 5 and verse 37. And he said, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his image. Did you hear that? Jesus said, you have not heard his voice, nor have you ever seen God's image. Simply because God is referred to as the invisible God. He is the invisible God. And why is that? Secondly, because he is spirit. God is spirit. John 4:24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then thirdly, God is unapproachable in his glory. God is unapproachable in his glory. 1 Timothy 6:16, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and glory forever and power everlasting. And then in Exodus 33:20, do you remember where Moses asked God to reveal his glory to him? God, let me see your glory. Now listen to how God responded. He said, "Thou canst not see my face." God is speaking to Moses. He said, "You cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." No man can see me and live. This means that God's perfect, infinite holiness, power, and divine essence is so overwhelming and beyond human capacity that mortals can experience His full presence without being destroyed. That is awesome to think about, how that man cannot look on God in His full essence or he will die. I think about when John was on the Isle of Patmos in the book of the Revelation. And I think about when Jesus, the glorified Christ, appeared to John. And John said that he fell down on his face as a dead man. As a dead man as he saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm here to tell you, my dear brethren, that according to the Bible, man cannot look upon God and live. No man hath seen God at any time. So I've shared some primary reasons. Now, let me give you the scriptural issue that we find with this. The scriptural issue. And what is it? It is simply this, that there are verses in the Bible that say people saw God. Now that sounds like it's contradicting what we've already learned from the scripture. So let me give you some of those verses. For example, Genesis 32, 30, it says, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved." In Exodus 24, 9 and 10, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, as it were the body of heaven in his clearness." And then finally in Isaiah 6 and 5, "Then said I," as Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So we have an issue here. The Bible, we've learned, first of all, the Bible says that no man has seen God at any time. But now we see where the Bible tells us there's people who have said they have seen God. That is the issue. So now that I've given the issue, I've stated the issue, now let me give you an explanation of the issue. And here it is. The appearances of God in the Old Testament that I've just read to you were manifestations of God's presence called theophanies. Theophanies. And a theophany is a limited glimpse. A limited glimpse. Listen to the wording now. A limited glimpse of what some believe to be the Christ pre-incarnate appearance. But nowhere has man ever seen God's unveiled essence or whole divine nature, which remains beyond mortal sight. No man could look on God and live, the Bible says. And so that is what the scripture means when it says no man has seen God at any time. No one will ever be able to see God's divine essence and live. So that brings me to the second thing I want you to notice from this verse, and that is this. Listen to what the verse says now. It says no man has seen God at any time. Then it says, Jesus, watch this, "the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Now, Jesus is God's only begotten Son, who's in the bosom of the Father. And the Bible says, He, Jesus, hath declared Him. Now, that word declared there means to make known formally, officially, or explicitly. So that's why I say that Jesus Christ came to reveal God. He not only came to become our Savior and our Lord, but Jesus came to reveal God, because no man had ever seen God at any time, and no man will ever see God at any time this side of heaven. And so Jesus not only came to be our Savior, He came to reveal the Father. So I want us to consider a couple of things. First of all, how is this possible? It is possible, number one, through the incarnation. Through the incarnation. The phrase, "the Word was made flesh," in verse 14. Then listen to this verse. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. Go back to verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, it says, and the same Word that was God was made flesh. That means that God, listen, that Jesus, God Himself became flesh because Jesus is God. Jesus became flesh. What did He do? He took upon Himself human flesh to become like one of us. Yet He was not only man, but He was not only fully man, but He was fully God. He was God in the flesh. And so through the incarnation, Jesus Christ came to this world in human flesh so that He would become like one of us so that He could reveal God to a lost and a dying world. So it is through the incarnation and the Word, the divine Word, Jesus Christ, became a real physical human being, taking upon Him human flesh and dwelt among us. And that word dwelt means tabernacled, if you please. He tabernacled among us. He dwelt among men. And so through the incarnation, the presence of God Himself was personally accessible to man. So notice that He not only came through the incarnation, and it's through the incarnation that this was made possible, but secondly, through His life, what He represented, how He lived, how He taught, what He said, what He did. It came through His life. Jesus could reveal the Father because Jesus Christ was God's eternal Son, and He was the perfect image of the invisible God that you and I have never seen. Hebrews 1:1-4 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners or various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now listen at this. Who being the brightness of His glory, Jesus Christ the Son is the brightness of God's glory. He said, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God the Father. And this means that Jesus was a perfect imprint, if you please. I don't know of a better illustration. Think about an imprint or like a die accurately representing the original design of something. Jesus Christ was the exact image of God the Father. In John 14:9, Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? I've already shown you the Father, Jesus is saying, because when you look at me, you're looking at the Father. And so when Jesus came to this earth, He came in the flesh to live, teach, and act in perfect alignment with God's will, making the Father's love, His character, and nature visible and knowable to humanity. And through His words, His actions, His obedience, His ultimate sacrifice on the cross, Jesus Christ became the tangible way for people to see God and to understand who God really is. He provided a full revelation of God's character and will, making God known in a way that no one else could. So what can we conclude from this text? Number one, Jesus Christ came in the flesh to reveal the Father and make Him known. Jesus was the ultimate revealer of God the Father. And number two, through His life, death, and resurrection, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, showed God's deep love for all people, not some, not many, but for all people. And His willingness to give His Son as a sacrifice, atoning sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved so loved. God's love was so deep. It was so great. It was so intense. His love is an ultimate love. His love is the epitome of love. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then in 1 John 4, 9 and 10, the Bible says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so when you think about it, Jesus acts as the bridge between sinful man and holy God. And He bridged that gap that existed between sinful man and holy God with the cross and with His life on the cross, His death on the cross. Jesus acts as the bridge, the only way to the Father, allowing people to know God intimately and find fulfillment in Him. John 14, 6 and 7, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Listen at this. "If ye had known Me, you should have known My Father also. And from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him." If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He's the perfect representation of God the Father, because He is God in flesh. Do you know Him today? I'm not asking you, do you know about Him? I've told you some things about Him today, but do you know Him? Do you have a personal, real, meaningful relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son? Do you know Him today? The only way you can know Him is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And the Bible says in John 17, 3, and these are the words of Jesus. He defines eternal life in terms of knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ the Son, whom the only true God sent to be our Savior. You have to know Him. Do you know Him today? If you don't know Him, you can know Him. His Spirit is here. And if He's drawing you and convicting you of your sin, that you're separated from God in your sin, you're sentenced to eternal death, but that God loves you and demonstrated His love for you by sending Jesus Christ to this world to become your Lord and your Savior, who died in your place on Calvary's cross, who paid the penalty for your sin. Jesus can set you free. He can set you free from the power of sin and the penalty of sin in your life if you will come to Him today. I trust you will not leave here this morning without Jesus Christ. We're about to have an invitation time. I'm going to ask our musicians to come and to prepare and get ready. I'm going to step down front. We're going to have an invitation. That is a time for anyone that needs to make a decision to come. You may need to come to the altar and pray. There could be various many reasons that you would want to come this morning. But we're going to pray, and then we're going to have this invitation and ask you to come as God's Holy Spirit leads you. And you come and make whatever decision you need to make. But I encourage you, please, if you're here today and lost without Christ, do not leave this place without giving your heart and your life to Jesus. Apart from Him, you will perish in your sins, and you will be eternally separated from a God that loves you and made a way for you to be saved. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. We praise You, Lord, for Your presence, for Your word, and for this simple, brief message this morning. And God, I pray You'll use it to Your honor and glory and to someone's good, to everyone's good. God, thank You for this day, for this service, for this time. Lord, bless everyone here. Bless this invitation now, I pray, in Jesus' name.